Do take a seat. Good morning. As Mike said, my name is Matt. I'm one of the youth workers here. Before I start, something very exciting happened in the office this week. It was decided that all the staff team should have name badges for when they stood up at front of church, which I thought was very exciting, until I heard that a certain reverend, who shall remain nameless, questioned whether or not I would be willing to wear mine. So for you, unnameable Clark, there you go. I'm going to be preaching before, but before I do, let's just pray and let's offer this time to God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it has the power to change and transform, has the power to stir us to you and to your mission. Lord, I pray as we look at your word now, challenge us and comfort us. Bring us deeper into relationship with you. Help us love you more fully and more fiercely. Amen. The story goes, and you may well have heard it before, of a boy who lives by a beach. Every day he goes down to this beach, and every day he builds sandcastles, he collects shells, and he goes paddling in the waves. One night there is an almighty storm, a storm like he has never heard or seen before. And in the morning he wakes up, goes down to the beach, and it is covered, blanketed in starfish. Hundreds and thousands of starfish everywhere. The boy looks for a minute, walks down, picks up a starfish and throws it into the water. Picks up another starfish and throws it into the water. A couple of hours later, a man walks down to the beach and sees the boy doing this, and he has cleared a very small patch of starfish. He goes up to the boy and says, "What are you doing? You're never, ever going to be able to clear all of these starfish." And the boy pauses. He picks one up. He looks at the man and says, "No, you're right. But I can help this one. And I can help this one. And I can help this one." And that's what we're talking about today. This third mark of mission. We looked at proclaiming the word, discipling believers, and now responding to human need by loving service. Responding to the need we see by loving people and serving them. Now, when I first started writing the sermon, I was thinking of all the practical ways that we can serve people, how we can care for them more, how we can practically see this mark of mission be living in us more. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's the wrong place to start. It's not about what we do or how we serve. It's not where we should be starting with this. It all starts with who we serve. Who is it that we serve? Is it the people here in church? Is it our families and our friends, our work colleagues, the people on the high street, those society has rejected? Well, the truth is, it's none of them. In practice, ultimately, yes, we should be serving all those people, but it is God we serve. We do this because we serve God. We do everything for him. If we do things in our name, in our strength, because we want to, ultimately we do it in vain. So let's look at what God has done for us. He has shown us love. And I don't just mean he's loved us, because he has done that, and he does do that. But he has shown us what love really is. If we're to talk about loving service, we have to understand love. And where better to start than with God? Love is at the heart of God. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, God is love. The very nature, the essence, the being of God is love. It's not that God feels love. It's not that he chooses to love, or that he loves when love is too hard to give. God is love. In the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, he exists in love, in relationship. We believe in a God of love. Everything that's good, everything that's holy, perfect and loving, that exists only because of God. Out of his love, he created us. In his love, he chose us. In his love, he died for us so that we can share in his love and we can share his love. Philippians 2 states, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, been made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In your relationships, have the same mindset as Jesus. And this is where the message that we have, the Christian message, is revolutionary for our culture. Because honestly, in general, people don't understand love. When we talk of love, people will look to the obvious examples. The vast majority will point to movies or TVs or celebrities to show love. You know, that overwhelming butterflies in the stomach love, the kiss in the rain with dramatic music blaring, the shouted proclamation from the rooftops, the happily ever after of every rom-com. That's love. Except it's not. It's not the fullness of love. Someone once said, love is not the polished and perfect image we see on the silver screen. Love is a beaten and bloodied man dying on a wooden cross. That's love. That's what it's all about. Love without borders. Love without boundaries. It's a love that loves until love makes no sense anymore. Do we get that? Do we understand that? Because we often talk, and I often talk, of how much God loves us. And I smile thinking, yes, isn't that great? But do we realize how great that is? Romans 5 states, we were enemies of God when Jesus died. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall be saved through his life? We were enemies of God, and he died for us. Most of us would risk a lot for those we love, possibly even die for them. But for our enemies, those we hate, those we find extremely difficult. But that's what we were to God before we accepted his forgiveness. One of my favorite songs has the line, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. My sin held Jesus on the cross. My wrongdoing, my mistakes. I am the reason Jesus came and died. We are the reason he died, to save us. You see, we're loved beyond reason. We're loved beyond logic. We're loved beyond understanding. We're loved immeasurably, and we have no right to claim any sort of forgiveness. But we can. Because he allows us. That's why we love. John 4:9 states, we love because he first loved us. Not because we can come close to that love. Not to earn that love. That's freely given by God. No, we love because he first loved us. We've been shown love, such mercy. Why keep that to ourselves? I think it's helpful for us to think about how much we love God. Because if we really love him, our actions will flow from that. It won't always be easy. We won't always manage it. Because we're still human and broken after all. I'm married to Amy, and I love her masses. She is the single greatest human being I've ever met, and there is nothing I wouldn't do for her. And when it comes to God, it should be the same. If we love him, we'll want to do what he asks, because he's great, his plans are awesome. Not necessarily because we love doing what he asks, but because we love him. I do not love washing up, but I love Amy. We do because we love him. And what's amazing is that actually, with God, the more we love him and the more we seek him, the more he enables us and helps us to love other people. The more we want to serve them. I had this revelation the other day at a very strange moment. My son's managed to get athlete's foot, which isn't a particularly pleasant thing to have. And as I was there, rubbing cream into that foot with all the cracks, blisters, and broken skin, I realized something profound. I would not do this for anyone else. I just wouldn't. No offense. I will not do this for you. But I do it for him because I love him, because I care about him, because I want the best for him. And it's pretty grim, but I do it. And I think the same is true for serving those around us. How much do we love them? Because if we love them, we'll want to serve them. We'll want to help them. But the only way to begin to love people is for God of love to change our hearts and our minds. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he entered the synagogue in his hometown and got out a passage of scripture. He could have chosen any passage of scripture And he chose this. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This is what he came to do. Preach good news and serve those in need. Word and deed, truth and grace. That is what Jesus is about. And as his disciples, his followers, that should be what we're about too. All of us, not collectively, and this is important. It's all too easy, and I find myself doing this all the time, to sit back and think, well, we do that. Our church does that. That person does, or that charity does, and I support them. And that's great. I am not telling you to stop supporting those people or those charities. But this is for all of us individually. We are all called to proclaim and serve. We are all called to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release the prisoners from darkness. And if you're sitting there and you're wondering, well, where can I do this? Take a walk down Shirley High Street. Go into a local secondary school. Hang around outside a hospital. Take a look around West Quay. Watch, listen, and see. Brokenness is all around us. There are poor and hungry people everywhere. Just ask the guys who work for Scratch and Basics Bank. They've seen it. I once had the privilege of spending a day going round with Ian on the Scratch van distributing furniture. I'll never forget the family of three we saw at the end of the day. All three of them were sharing one mattress on a floor and no other furniture. Nothing else to sit on or sleep on, and we rocked up with a van full of furniture and fitted their entire house. I have never seen such joy on someone's face. What a difference was made because someone said yes and took that step to help. And there are other needs too. Abused and neglected children and adults on our doorsteps. I spent a year working as a dad's worker for Sure Start, and I covered Millbrook, Shirley and Central Southampton. And you know what? I can no longer pretend, as I used to, that things are better here in Shirley. Across the board, there were desperate situations, people in need. Children, parents, friends, all hurting. More work to do than ever seems possible. And there are people here in our congregation who desperately, desperately need someone to talk to them, to listen to them, to support them. That's loving service. That's what we're meant to be about. Now, it can seem daunting. There seems to be too much. What can we do to ever make a difference? Penny mentioned about that drop in the ocean. Mother Teresa has this great quote that says, "We ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop." The ocean would be less because of your missing drop. The difference you make is worthwhile. Or again, Mother Teresa said, "If you can't feed 100 people, just feed one." It's like that starfish story at the beginning. No, we can't help the whole beach, but you can help one. We can help two, or we can help that person or that group. Instead of looking at the big overwhelming picture, which can be quite crippling, let's look at the smaller individual ones. Where has God placed you today or tomorrow? Who are you passing? What might you have missed? Can you offer to buy lunch for the homeless guy outside Sainsbury's? Can you take 30 minutes out of your day to stop and listen to someone? There's a great picture up in our office that says, "Some people just need a good listening to." It's so true. It's so true. We're so busy doing that we don't always stop to listen. Give it a go. Or can you volunteer some of your time for Scratch or Safe, Communicare, CAP, Street Pastors, or another local charity? I don't know what it is you should do. And honestly, I don't want to tell you. That's not for me to do. No one should be telling you how you should serve, where you should go. Only God needs to do that. But we need to listen to him. We need to listen to what God is saying. As a church, we've got this great strapline that says, "We are ordinary people following the extraordinary Jesus together." But that means we are to follow. We're to follow Jesus wherever he calls us, wherever he leads us. And I can guarantee you that Jesus, who hung out with tax collectors, prostitutes, murderers, thieves, that Jesus doesn't call us to simply sit comfortably and enjoy meeting together. He calls us to go, to reach out. And it can be massively scary. It can be uncomfortable, unsettling, upsetting, and challenging. But you know what? I don't think there's a single person that gets to their deathbed and thinks, I wish I'd helped less people. Or I wish I'd done less to serve others. Or I wish I'd been more me-focused and less others-focused. I just don't think that happens. It could be messy. As we love people, as we serve those around us, we are going to meet those who, for whatever reason, don't fit. Whatever fit means. People who scare us and make us uncomfortable. People who don't act, dress, speak, or really do anything the way we want them to. But that's good. There's a church leader in Bradford, a guy called Paul Scanlon. And he decided he needed to challenge his church because they were too comfortable and they weren't outward looking enough. And this is what he said. He said, I go into church, I leave my bag under my chair, and I go up to the front to lead. He said, I want to go to a church where I no longer feel safe leaving my bag under my chair. Because then I know we're reaching the right people. It's uncomfortable. I've left my bag down there with my phone. Don't take it. It's uncomfortable. Tax collectors, prostitutes, murderers, thieves. Jesus said, it is not the healthy that need the doctor, but the sick. We're here to seek and save the lost because ultimately all of us were once those lost people. We were all sought and saved by Jesus. My brother's church in Sheffield runs a number of projects called City Hearts. They're houses for people escaping from drugs, from prostitution and trafficking, and from abuse. They're well-resourced. Therapists, social workers, a huge amount of support from both local council and the police. And they run houses for both men and women. And they have this great tagline that they are loving people to life. I love that, loving people to life. Anyway, through this project, they came into contact with the madam of a local brothel. And through their contact and love of her, she gave her life to Jesus. And she came on one Sunday morning to their church and got baptized. And do you know what? At her service, several of the girls who worked in her brothels gave their lives to Jesus and got baptized. That's loving people to life. That's loving service. All may come, all are loved, no matter what. Whether they choose Jesus or not, let's not get caught up with the only reason we love is to make people Christians. We love because God loved us. Because people are people. James 2 states, someone will say, but you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We need to show our faith, and we need to show it loud. We need to love until it hurts and then keep loving. We've taken the decision to call our church St. James by the Park, which is great. That's exactly where we are. It's helpful. But let's not make that who we are. When people hear about us, do we want them to say, oh yeah, that's the church near the park? Or do we want them to say, that's the church that cares? They're the ones who supported my sister. They listened to my dad. They helped my friend find a house or a job. They sat with me when I lost my grandparents. They visited me when I was in prison. They gave me a second chance when no one else did. They welcomed me when no one else would. Isn't that who we want to be? Isn't that who we're called to be? So you may feel like just one drop in the ocean, but we're a church of over 200 people. That's 200 drops. I don't know about you, but to me, a drop sounds like a drop, and 200 drops sounds a lot more like running water. And running water always brings life. So let our church outpour with mercy, with grace, with love and service to those around us that brings life and vitality in Jesus wherever we go so that people look at us and say, oh, St. James's, that's the church that cares. But this is only going to happen if we let God break our hearts, if we let our barriers down and let him in. We need to be opened up to what is around us, the need where we are, and it will hurt because there is a lot of need. But the God who made the universe, who raises the dead, who calms storms with whispers, who knows you better than you will ever know yourself, he is with us in all we do. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to invite the band up, and I'm going to pray in a sec. And then we're going to sing a song which you'll probably know well, Hosanna, I See the King of Glory. And it's a great declaration song. It's a song of hope, a song of vision, a song of what we want to see happen. And it's got a bridge which is all too easy to sing and a lot harder to mean. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. And I challenge you and I encourage you to sing that if you want to. Let's not do the comfortable middle-class Christianity where we all sing along because it's the right thing to do because it helps the band. Let's sing it because we mean it. Let's take this as our declaration, our cry of, okay, God, this is going to hurt. This is not going to be easy, but break my heart. Open me up to what it is you want me to do. So I'm going to pray, and then let's all stand to sing together. Lord, I thank you that you loved us first. I thank you that because you loved us, we can love others. Lord, I pray, help us to do that. Challenge us, motivate us, support us through that. Help us to see where it is you want us to respond. Help us take risks. Help us be bold. And Lord, as a church, may those tiny drops in the ocean make a difference. Even if that's just to one person, let them know that we love them. Help us to do your will, I pray. Amen.